When you've had a hard time forgiving yourself, what may be going on is that you haven't felt worthy of, accepted, or experienced God's forgiveness of your sin. Perhaps because there's someone you need to forgive. This is the Bible Speaks to You podcast, episode 234. Today's topic is learning to forgive yourself. You're listening to the Bible Speaks to You podcast. I'm James Early, your host, and this is the place to be to rediscover the original Christianity of Jesus. Each week, we talk about how Jesus wanted us to think and act and pray and live our daily lives. And we dig down into the mindset of Jesus to discover how we can think and act like He did. The goal is to experience more of Jesus' promise that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hey there, and welcome again to the Bible Speaks to You podcast. I am so grateful that you've tuned in to listen today. I've got a question for you. How good are you at forgiving yourself? A year or so ago, I met a guy in a class I was teaching who had a really hard time forgiving. His business partners, whom he had considered as friends, had influenced him to make some really bad choices, and he lost his business because of it. He felt betrayed by these people, and he swore he would never forgive them. And he had a hard time even thinking about forgiving himself for letting them influence him and making such foolish mistakes. Over a period of several months, I talked to him every week in class, and I tried to help him deal with his anger, his self-condemnation, and his refusal to forgive. There was a lot of other stuff going on in his life too, but the refusal to even be willing to think about forgiving was turning out to be a real stumbling block to his progress. Part of the curriculum in this class included watching the movie Amish Grace. It's about how an Amish community responds with grace and forgiveness when a gunman kills several Amish schoolchildren. The movie is based on a book by the same title, which in turn is based on a true story. It's a really sad story, but the amazing thing is how the Amish community reaches out with forgiveness. In the movie, three Amish men, including the father of one of the girls who was killed earlier that morning, go to the home of the woman whose husband killed the children. She's in tears and disbelief that her husband could have done such a horrible deed, but the reality has begun to set in when the three Amish men come to call on her. They offer her love, and they offer to help in any way they can. And they make it very clear that they forgive her husband and hold no ill will toward her. She can't believe it. It's hard for her to accept that level of unconditional forgiveness. Now, there are many other powerful vignettes in the movie about forgiveness, including people who have a hard time forgiving themselves for things they did or didn't do on that fateful day of the shooting. And it's not an easy movie to watch, but there is such a powerful message of forgiveness and redemption. I really do recommend it. Well, after watching this movie, the fellow I mentioned earlier, along with the other guys in the class, had a pretty lively discussion about forgiveness. A lot of them were having trouble forgiving themselves or someone who had hurt or betrayed them. This one particular fellow was still pretty adamant about not forgiving his former business partners or himself. But the spirit of forgiveness had taken root in his heart, and within a couple of months, he actually got to a place where he could forgive the people who had wronged him as well as himself. Everyone in the class burst into applause when he shared this one day. You know, it was one of those moments when you feel like heaven opens up and you hear the angels singing. It was such an amazing transformation. Now, I've done several episodes about forgiveness, and there are a couple that, if you haven't listened to, you might enjoy, because we're going to be talking about forgiveness today. The first one is all the way back to episode 18, Forgiving 70 times 7, How I Forgave My 8th Grade Gym Teacher, and then episode 97, an interview with my friend Mark Sowersby called Forgiveness Brings Freedom, and he had to forgive people who had abused him. If you're thinking about forgiveness or know someone who needs to think about forgiveness, you might enjoy these two previous episodes. And I'll have those links in the show notes. Over many years, in lots of different situations and discussions, I have met so many people who have a hard time forgiving themselves, and I've struggled with this as well. Why is it so hard to forgive yourself? Why are we so hard on ourselves? I think it may be because we have a hard time loving ourselves. And that, too, is something I've seen a lot of people struggle with. So I got to wondering about what the Bible says about forgiving yourself. And actually, I didn't find a whole lot. There are many passages about God forgiving us and our need to forgive others, but not too much about us forgiving ourselves. But I did find this passage from 1 John chapter 3, 20-23. It says, "If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him everything we ask, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love another as He commanded us." Well, you probably know what it feels like to make a mistake and condemn yourself for it. But John is saying when we don't condemn ourselves, and for me the implication here is that that means we forgive ourselves, we have a better awareness of our relationship with God and will even be more loving to each other. When you make a mistake, big or small, do you beat yourself up for it? Maybe someone gave you false information, unknowingly or on purpose. Maybe your intuitions told you not to do something, but you did it anyway. Maybe you rebelled against someone warning you not to do something and did it anyway. Maybe you were completely unaware you were making a mistake. Whatever it might be, how do you treat yourself in such a situation? Do you, in effect, condemn yourself? Call yourself an idiot for doing such a stupid thing? I've certainly done that at times. This is what the verses from 1 John are encouraging us not to do. The beauty of this is that even if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. God is bigger than your self-condemnation or your lack of forgiving yourself. And God is bigger than the sins you committed and the mistakes you make. When we get to an awareness of this and our hearts do not condemn us, 1 John says we can have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because of our faith in Jesus and our love for each other. If you've ever found yourself in the pit of despair and self-condemnation, sometimes the best way to get out is to imbibe the Spirit of Jesus' love for and forgiveness of people, and that includes loving and forgiving yourself. I'm not saying this is easy, but it's something that we need to do. Let's look at some folks in the Bible who at one point or another had to face the mistakes they made or the sins they committed. Sometimes we have a record in the Bible of their repentance. Sometimes it's implied. Sometimes we don't know how they came to terms with what they had done wrong. Now, I don't often talk about Samson on the Bible Speaks to You podcast, but he instantly comes to mind. Samson was a judge in Israel for 20 years and did a good job. When his girlfriend Delilah tempted him, he was faithful to God time after time, but eventually he gave in to her relentless attempts to find out the secret of his great strength. When his hair was cut, he lost his strength. He was captured by the Philistines, had his eyes gouged out, and was put in chains. You can read more details about this story starting in Judges 16, verse 4. Over time, Samson's hair regrows and he regains his strength, but during this time, we don't really know what he was thinking about. Did he berate himself for giving in to Delilah's beguilements, or even regret wanting to be with her in the first place? Did he condemn himself for these choices? Did he ever get to the point of being able to forgive himself or feel God's forgiveness? The Bible doesn't really give us any clues, but it is something to think about. Another example of someone I wonder about being able to forgive himself is King David after he committed adultery with Bathsheba and ordered the death of her husband, Uriah. Now you can read this story starting in 2 Samuel 11, verse 2. When the prophet Nathan rebukes David with a story which causes David to face his sins, David repents. This is 2 Samuel 12, 13. Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die." Now, this verse doesn't use the phrase that David's sin is forgiven, but it's pretty much the same idea when Nathan says, "The Lord has taken away your sin." But even though there's an element of God forgiving David for his sin, do you think David never thought about it again? Now, I know I'm reading between the lines here, but I can just imagine David revisiting the decisions he made in regards to Bathsheba and Uriah. Did he ever get to the place where he could forgive himself? Was it enough for him to feel God's forgiveness? Again, something to think about. Well, let's jump to the New Testament. First, I think about Peter when he denied that he even knew Jesus three times. Now, it's easy to be a little judgmental of Peter, but I think it's important to remember the intense emotional atmosphere of fear Peter felt in this situation. Who knows what you or I would have done under the same circumstances? Well, in this case, we see deep regret and repentance on Peter's part. When the rooster crows, Peter realizes he's done exactly what Jesus told him he would do. This is Luke 22, 61 and 62. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And then Peter went outside and wept bitterly. Peter loved Jesus in every way he knew how to. Denying he even knew Jesus must have left a bitter taste in Peter's mouth and a heavy spirit in his heart. Think of how Peter must have felt as events played out and he saw Jesus nailed to a cross, die, and buried in a grave. All that was traumatizing enough in and of itself, but add to it the memory of not being faithful to the one you loved and you knew in your heart to be the Messiah. I don't know how Peter coped with it. It was a terrible mental and emotional burden. I can only imagine he berated himself constantly. Oh, if only I had not denied I knew him. No wonder he went out and wept bitterly. Probably more than once. Think of how Peter must have felt when Jesus appeared to him and some of the other disciples after the resurrection. I'm sure he was overjoyed to see Jesus alive, but you know in the back of his mind he remembered the look Jesus gave him when the rooster crowed. Now the Bible doesn't give us any details about what Peter was thinking, but just put yourself in his shoes for a minute. I doubt Peter had forgotten about it or forgiven himself. He may have asked God over and over to forgive him, and maybe he was even trying to work up the courage to say something to Jesus if he had the opportunity. We'll never know. But Jesus knew the burden on Peter's heart and gave him the opportunity to redeem himself, so to speak, when he asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" This is John 21, 15 through 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Three denials that he knew Jesus. Three reaffirmations that he loved Jesus. Do the math. Peter now has a clean slate, you could say. Now, that's not really a new idea. My question is, did this help Peter forgive himself? Did he feel forgiven by Jesus? Did he feel forgiven by God? And if so, did he still need to forgive himself if he felt forgiven? Again, just something to think about. Now let's look at one more example of someone who could easily have really been hard on himself, full of self-condemnation for what he had done as a young man. I'm talking about Saul, who was later known as Paul. Saul witnessed Stephen being stoned, and he approved of it. Saul did everything he could to stop the early church. This is Acts 8:3. Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. And then in Acts 9, verses 1 and 2, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest, he requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Well, you know what happened. Christ appeared to him on the way to Damascus, and Saul's life was changed completely. He became one of the most ardent followers of Jesus the world has ever seen. How do you think Saul, later Paul, felt about his earlier attitudes and actions? Think of the intense hatred implied in that phrase, "Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers." That's a heavy memory to hold on to, and at some point Paul must have found freedom from having thought and behaved the way he did. And interestingly enough, he actually reminds people on several occasions of his history of persecuting the followers of Jesus. This one in particular stands out to me. This is 1 Timothy 1:12-14. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. In my insolence, I persecuted his people, but God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was! He filled me with the faith and love that come from Christ Jesus." You get a clear sense of Paul's repentance for what he did and that he felt God's forgiveness and love. Did Paul forgive himself? Did he still need to? Was God's forgiveness enough for him to go forward? Well, maybe that's the key to forgiving ourselves, experiencing God's forgiveness. And how do we experience God's forgiveness? Jesus says it only comes after we have forgiven others. This is in Matthew 6:14-15 in the Sermon on the Mount, right after Jesus has given us the Lord's Prayer. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." That last verse used to trouble me, but it actually makes sense. If your heart is open to forgive others, it is open to receive God's forgiveness. But if your heart is closed and refuses to forgive others, it is closed and cannot receive God's forgiveness. It seems a little counterintuitive, doesn't it, that in order to receive God's forgiveness, we first have to forgive others? Why does that even matter? Is God's ability to forgive dependent on what we do or don't do? No, not at all. God's forgiveness is always available. It's just that we can't receive it when our hearts are closed. Over many years, I've experienced on many occasions that when I forgive someone is when I feel God's forgiveness of my sins. And that brings us back to forgiving yourself. When you've had a hard time forgiving yourself, what may be going on is that you haven't felt worthy of, accepted, or experienced God's forgiveness of your sin. Perhaps because there's someone you need to forgive. When you forgive, you'll be able to accept and experience God's forgiveness. And when God has washed away your sins, even the tiniest little mistake, there's nothing left to forgive, no longer a need to forgive yourself. Wherever you are on the path of forgiveness, whether of someone else or yourself, take a moment right now to take a humble look at any situation where you need to forgive someone else or yourself. And then, forgive. Hey, thanks so much for listening. I'm so grateful that you tuned in today. If you know someone who you think might enjoy this episode and find it helpful, please share it with them. I've got a quick question for you. Is your church or organization looking for an inspirational Bible-based talk or workshop? I'd love to talk to you about how I can bring some fresh ideas about the Bible to your group, whether online or in person. I've been talking to various churches and organizations, and if you'd like to see some of the topics I cover and learn more about having me speak at your church or organization, just go to my website, thebiblespeakstoyou.com, and click on the Speaking tab in the menu bar. I'd love to talk to you about how to bring the Bible's message alive for your group. Well, that's it for this week. I want to thank you so much for being here, for all the ways you've been supportive. I'm James Early with the Bible Speaks to You podcast. Have a great week. Take care, and we'll see you next time. God bless.